I'm here with my co-host, Susie Prez. Hi, Susie.
Well, hi, Chris. We haven't done a show together in a very, very long time. It's really the perfect time of year to do it because this is one of my favorite times of year. This interview is my favorite. So thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we're doing our annual Reason for the Season talk here. And the reason we haven't been together is because the studio got closed down for the whole pandemic period there, and we're just kind of starting to open things back up. But in the meantime, we've been doing things by Zoom, and in fact, we're on Zoom right now, and we are with two of our local pastors. We have Pastor Andy Canale. How close was I, Andy, on that pronunciation?
Fairly close. Canale.
Canale. Okay. I warned you I was going to butcher it anyways. And you're the pastor at the First Presbyterian Church here in town. And we also have with us Pastor Eric Rust from Cedar Hills Church.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Well, thank you both for taking time to talk with us. And really, you know, we're going to be asking other people out on the street, as I mentioned earlier in our pre-talk here, about what Christmas means to them. And I think that's a good place to start right now with our talk. And Pastor Andy, why don't we go with you first? What things come to mind for you when someone says, hey, Christmas?
Hey, Christmas is a special time of year, I think, where people are open, sentimental, nostalgic. So there's kind of a looking back and sort of a looking forward at the same time with hope and anticipation. So it's kind of a mix of past and future that get people excited. You know, it gets people at different levels. So, you know, everything from family and personal to more of a culture-wide phenomena. So, yeah. There's a lot going on. When someone says, hey, Christmas, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting stew of thoughts. Well, Pastor Eric, same question to you to start out. Hey, Christmas, Eric.
Yeah, I think in spite of the fact that this season can bring, we might even touch on this in a little bit, it can bring some challenges into our lives. There's sometimes this darkness surrounding Christmas, not just with winter solstice, just coming up on us here. But even in our hearts, we can feel a little bit of that darkness and distance and maybe loneliness, and things are amplified. There's generally a sense of joy that Christmas brings. I mean, the word itself sort of, it's evocative. And we think of parties and presents and family and happiness and togetherness. I mean, some of those better signs. So there's a cultural phenomenon, as Andy talked about, that we respond to with emotion, just hearing the word. And then there's a layer of you know, the spiritual meaning of Christmas, this idea of God with us. You know, Emmanuel's this word we hear sometimes, this idea that through Jesus, God came to our earth, and that the gap that we sometimes believe exists between earth and heaven, we realize at Christmas that God chose to close that gap and meet us where we are on our terms. And so that gives another level of joy and excitement as we think about the true meaning of what life's all about.
Well, I want to put that same question to my co-host. We're going to go around the table here.
Yeah. I understand. And I think for me, it's all of the things that we can imagine Christmas is, all the fun, if you've had children, the family traditions, remembering, but there's also an element of the darkness, and it's an opportunity that I always take. It's the holy nights. It's the time of year where there's a shift. I don't know if you'd say consciousness, but it's a time where I like to reflect and renew and bring my courage forward. Throughout the year, we're very busy doing all kinds of things, but it's in that darkness that you find courage to move forward. And so I think of it as a time of renewal, especially through the holy nights, because there is a place for that in our souls, I guess you might say. So it's all good. It's joyful. It's fun. it's special, but it's also that. So, and so I will ask you, Chris, hey, Christmas.
Well, okay, for me, I mean, mental images pop up, right? I think of winter, Christmas trees and Christmas lights and presents under the tree. But really, I think of people. And invariably, I go back to Christmas when I was a child. And I think of my mom and my brother. And my father died when I was really young. I was only six, but I had a couple Christmases I can remember with him that were, he made a big thing out of Christmas. You know, and we always went to church with my dad when I was young. And, but he did this funny thing that where we lived, there was like a hill behind us. And he claimed there was a baby giant up on the hill that would scatter Christmas candy and little presents around. And he would go up and with me and my brother, we'd find things on the ground and there'd be like this giant footprint. It kind of sounds odd, doesn't it? But it was
That's great.
Yeah, it was a neat Christmas thing he did. And we also had an advent calendar up on our wall when my dad was alive. And it had it some little things you'd open up, little on certain days you'd open up and there'd be a little car or something in it, kind of a present type thing. Anyways, kind of interesting. And then when I had a kid of my own, of course, those Christmases were really enriched by having a little kid in the house and opening presents. And
yeah,
you know, we'd read the Christmas story usually from Matthew. And then we'd read "Twas the Night Before Christmas," you know, and do that usually on Christmas Eve. Anyways, a stew of things for me, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that it's sadness, remembering people I've lost, mixed with all these neat things with the people I have around me now.
Mm-hmm. And now you have a little granddaughter in your life.
It's
a whole nother level. And they live right here in town. So how cool is that?
Yeah, baby Wren. She's just a little bit over a year old. So she's going to be kind of probably not totally keyed in on the whole Christmas thing.
But,
hey, I got to mention, Eric's got a brand spanking new grandson.
Yeah. Born last Saturday. So he's only pushing 5 days old at this point, but little Cairo Bishop, he's a doll. So yeah, it's funny how having a baby around at Christmas, it adds a layer of magic that you don't normally feel. It's so we're excited about having two grandkids in our house this year at Christmas.
Yeah. Well, to the pastors. So one thing about Christmas, it kind of goes beyond the scope of the things we've been talking about, is this commercialization that happens around Christmas. And what would you say would be a way for people to not get caught up in just kind of the pure commercialization where it's all about getting gifts for people or getting a bigger, better gift or feeling bad because you don't get a gift that really knocks it out of the ballpark or the money that this involved, you know, and getting back to more of the meaning of Christmas, like some of the things we were talking about. Pastor Andy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the commercialization can be a big pressure on people, especially financially. You know, there's a lot of expectations there and gift giving is a natural thing for people. It's kind of built into our wiring as human beings to want to be generous and to want to be responsive to the things we're grateful for. And we're grateful if we have people in our lives, gift giving is a way to express our care for them. And Christmas is kind of fine-tuned to that. You know, historically, it's a time of gift giving and Christmas is picked up on that with the gift God gives, the Christ born, you know, and so our presence that we give kind of stem from that, our reflections of that in a lot of ways. As far as the commercialization of it, well, we live in a capitalist society, you know, that's the air we breathe around here is material things and money and economics and consumer spending is a core of our economy. You can't get away from that in this system. So the trick is to not get hooked in that and to claim what's important about gift giving, connecting with people, expressing love, sharing gratitude, without getting sucked into the materialism or the prestige needs, or, you know, these are kind of more ego-driven things of status and concern. So homemade gifts, simpler gifts, things that are handmade, especially, you know, by you or someone that you're connected with. Those are gifts that express not only a material thing, but an expression of who you are. And I mean, that's so nice to receive from someone also. You know, if somebody takes the time to make something for you, not only do you get the gift, but you also get to realize that they've thought about you in the entire process of them making that. And so there's a lot of deeper connections that go unspoken through that. So that's kind of what we try to do is encourage just authentic sharing. And whether that is on a commercial level or not is not the point.
Pastor Eric, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I really appreciate what Andy shared. Resonate with so much of that. The pressure I think you talked about early on. I think we all feel that. There's no more exposed feeling than if someone like walks up and gives you a gift and you're not prepared to give them one back, right? Because you're like, oh no, like I'm the debtor in this relationship. They've one-upped me, and so there's this game we sometimes feel compelled to play about carrying extra gifts around in our car, or I buy something for you in case you buy something for me, but you weren't. So now you buy one for me. And it's just this whole, it's a pressure thing, which at the end of the day, none of us want to ever receive a gift. We don't want to give gifts out of pressure, but I don't think we want to receive them out of pressure either. And so I think finding a way to balance that, I think is the key. I love to give gifts. And truth be told, I don't mind receiving them either. You know, it's fun. And especially when you know that there's heart behind them. But I think reminding ourselves that that cannot become the primary focus is the most important thing. And you know, we love to teach our kids that, but I think for adults, we've got to be reminded of that as well, because obligation and pressure take over. And so I think the heart's what it's all about. I was reflecting on the wise men last week and just even their gifts, you know, that we tell in the story of Christmas about these wise men who came to visit Jesus, magi, and gave gifts. The gift that they gave, a second model for us, obviously the gift that God gave through Jesus. And then we talk about the gifts of the Magi. It wasn't the gifts that were significant. There was symbolism there, but the fact that they brought them with them in these treasure chests, there was a heart that longed to share with the newborn king when they found him. That's the spirit I think that's most important, is a sense of like, there's a longing in me to share with you, to celebrate with you. And that I think is the most important part of the gift, is just that, what you said, Chris, it's the people side of Christmas that I think truly is most important to us in that regard. And to all of our small business owners, it's like, yeah, let's support our small businesses, right? We got a lot of those in town, and this is an important time of year. So I think if we can find ways to be outward focused as well, we always do some sort of an outward focused Christmas offering as a church to turn our minds towards those who are without. That's one of the ways I think we balance and counterbalance the commercialization side.
Yeah, one thing I find about Christmas, it definitely kindles a charitable spirit or a giving spirit. Yeah. It would be great to keep that going throughout the year. So it doesn't all get just kind of piled up around Christmas time, and then the rest of the year we kind of forget about giving, not just to our family, but to some of the folks that can really use it out there. It's funny, I was reading a story, I think it was in the New York Times, about a guy that was unjustly convicted of a murder. And no, it wasn't a murder. It was actually a rape. And it turned out he was completely innocent. And the woman that accused him said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It's a horrible thing," right? The guy went to jail for many years. But there was a mention in the story about a GoFundMe link for this guy that's been in jail for all these years and had his life destroyed. And, you know, you get out and you can't find jobs because of that. And so I was just seized by the moment. I clicked on it and made a little donation to this fund to get the guy going again. And I, you know, I wonder if that was motivated because it's Christmas time, you know, I'm in the giving spirit, or yeah. Is, you know, would I, can I carry that? It wasn't a big thing for me to chip in. If a whole bunch of people did, actually, they had set a $75,000, it was a GoFundMe site. They'd set a $75,000 goal. And, it was at like 62,000 when I contributed yesterday, and I checked it this morning, and it was up over 150 for this guy. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
And that is so great, you know. So,
anyways, I wanted to jump in on this whole idea about giving. I don't know if you're going to ask me that, Chris, but when you talk about that whole thing that happens, a lot of people get super stressed about just what you're talking about. Both of you, both pastors, expectation of, oh my gosh, now I need to make the list and I need to, you know, have saved all this money and find the perfect gift. But a lot of that is in our heads. And, yeah. Or you can just pull back from that and find a way to stand in your truth about what it means to you. And yeah, it might be something like the GoFundMe for somebody you don't even know that you actually can send some money to or whatever. But I'm going to give away a clue of what I'm doing for Christmas this year. So if any of my family or friends are listening, I have two apple trees in my yard that I planted with my son when he was in high school. And they, some every once in a while, they have a bumper crop. So I have many, many, many quarts of applesauce in my cupboard, and everyone's getting applesauce this year. That's pretty much it.
That's a whole true homemade gift right there. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, when I was making that applesauce, I was so grateful for this huge amount of apples I got this year. It was beautiful, and they're really good apples. So I'm grateful to the pollinators who made that happen. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, another thing about Christmas, I kind of touched on already, is that it does bring a period of sadness for a lot of folks. And, you know, it's a time of sorrow, remembering loved ones that were lost. I had a couple of losses this last year, too, due to the pandemic. Actually, I had a cousin that died in August, and then I had a good friend that just died in November, both of them from the pandemic. And I know probably a lot of other families are struggling with not just, you know, losses from years ago, but recent losses. Pastor Eric, why don't you talk to that first? You know, how can people who feel the sadness or anxiety at this time of year deal with that?
Yeah, it's real. And I don't think any of us I don't know how many years it takes, but I think anybody who's logged a few years under their belt has experienced a holiday season, maybe multiple, where things are a little darker. And I mentioned earlier, you know, winter solstice, I do find it interesting that just the timeliness of Christmas and winter solstice landing so close. I mean, one of the shortest days of the year is Christmas in the calendar year. And the darkness that comes this time of year, sometimes we feel that is representative. We can feel that representative of our hearts. And I find that encouraging that even as a follower of Jesus, like Jesus never denied that to be human is to experience dark days, that dark days come. And so I think acknowledging that is an important thing for all of us to do. And I think that I find hope as well in the story of Christmas itself. I mean, it's a slightly more obscure part of the Christmas story, but Matthew talks about After Jesus's birth, there was a threat in his life from a king Herod. And so, you know, Jesus's parents, Joseph and Mary, escaped to Egypt. And so I find it interesting that Jesus, the one we celebrate at Christmas, actually began the early years of his life in exile as a refugee in a foreign land, and lived there for a long, long time. I mean, talk about dark days, right, surrounding the holidays. So even the one that we celebrate at Christmas began life in that darkness and eventually came out of that. And I think there's hope that we find there in the Christmas story as well. So I think for those of us that are in those days, to acknowledge them and to lean on the support of those in our lives when we can. I think for those of us that might feel like life is good this year, I think it's always wise to just have an open eye and a listening ear to say, man, who's around me that has experienced loss? I think all of us could just probably sit down and say, is there anyone that I know that has lost someone this year? And be a little extra thoughtful about not just the cards, but a text, a phone call, a get together to ensure that those people that in our lives, I mean, if we all did that, nobody would really be left out this time of year. So I think that pain gives us a chance to step in and to practice what it means to be loving, to be human to one another.
Pastor Andy, what are your thoughts?
I think back to Christmas and Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is geographically very near one of King Herod's castles. And King Herod's castle is built up on an acropolis, up on a hill. And so Bethlehem oftentimes is in the literal shadow of Herod. And so Jesus is born into a shadow, and life is that mix of, you know, facing our shadows and dealing with real issues and pain and suffering. But the Christian message is that suffering can be transformed through the power of God's presence and love. And a lot of times that happens through other people. You know, if we're experiencing grief, like Eric said, we can reach out to others to help people who are grieving. But if we're in the grief, maybe we need to reach out and seek support, whether that be a group or a counselor or a pastor or someone to talk to, that we don't have to journey alone. Nothing in that biblical story took place in isolation. So we don't need to live in isolation either. So I think part of recognizing the difficulty in Christmas also involves being patient with ourselves, not to feel bad that we feel bad. It's legit. You know, there's a lot of stressors going on in the world right now. Whether you take a macro look at that, threats like climate change and global warming and all the storms that have just been pummeling people, even in our own country in the last few days, to more immediate things, you know, friends and loved ones dying or being sick or not having that vitality they once did in life, where they were able to be more independent or, you know, or do the things they wanted to do. So being patient with ourselves and reaching out for help if we need it, I would say those are important and modeled in that first Christmas for us. Just like Eric said, you know, Jesus showed up and off they went to Egypt. And
Susie, have you lost some folks that you're going to really be missing this Christmas?
You know, not in the last year so much, but a couple years ago. But it, to me, it's a time to remember all the good things the memories I have. Obviously, it was my mother and all those Christmases as a child. And if you have children in your lives, it's a great time to build those memories with traditional things like singing around a piano or making cookies, I suppose, or those kind of things means so much because that's what you remember. You remember the really special times and the traditional things. I have a lot of those ornaments from when I was a child still. And so that's, but I had a question for either of the pastors or both of you. When you're talking about these times, and yes, it's Christmas time, it's a time of hope and joy and renewal for me. How do you bring to your congregations with all that's going on, all the difficulties, the divisions that we see in our world now, how do you nurture your congregation? Because I think that's part of your job probably, is to help bring perspective and keep the hope and the love and joy going during these difficult times, as Pastor Andy mentioned some of them. How do you do that? Either.
Susie, I was just thinking about that, actually. You think about the last year, you mentioned a few, but I mean, racial tensions and political divisions and COVID and shutdowns and vaccines. And you know, I think the last 24 months, we have all felt that those types of topics, we have allowed them. I won't say the topics that, but we have allowed them to separate us and to create more divisions than they ever would have in the past. And so little things are a big deal now that they never were before. So one of my hopes and prayers is that we would use the Christmas season to do what it does best, which is bring us together around things that transcend us individually. And so, like, I mean, practically there's families that aren't as tight as they once were because of these types of issues. And my hope is that, man, wouldn't it be cool if a family is able to move beyond these topics this Christmas and say, you know what, we need to get together. And there's a little bit of healing that can take place. So I think that there's a responsibility all of us have to be the first to go there. And so that's one of the things that I think, I guess to answer your question, I would always want to challenge those that I'm responsible to love and serve as a pastor, or anybody who I have earshot to. I want them to hear from me that they can be the ones to go first. And someone's got to extend the hand. Someone's got to extend an act of love and graciousness and maybe make an invitation. So if we can just choose not to be people that wait for someone else to go first, but to initiate that, I think that there could be a lot of healing that happens this Christmas. And that's one of the prayers that I have, that peace on earth would become a reality, not just a dream or a cry that we have this time of year.
Susie, I think I liked something that you said resonated with me, something you said earlier about this season, these times being a time of courage in the darkness, and that involves not only a season of Christmas with traditions and this and that, but you use the words shift in consciousness. And I think it was Einstein that said, you can't solve a problem with the same mentality that created it. And so we as Christians and as human beings are getting called for a shift in consciousness. And that, to me, is where Christmas really gains traction, is that incarnation is a whole different way of living on the planet. Celebrating God with us is a whole different way of functioning in the day-to-day moment, to really claim that living presence in our hearts and to set aside the more ego-driven or superficial things. That takes practice. And so that's what I try to focus on with the congregation, back to your question, both in this season and all the time, is how do we practice these spiritual disciplines to open our hearts to the living Christ?
And where does, in this practice, where does faith live?
And we only have a minute.
Oh,
a couple minutes left. You can each take a whack at that in you know, 30 to 60 seconds. Pastor Andy, where does faith live in this?
Faith lives in the Christ-centered life. to take ourselves out of the center and to come alongside the biblical story. Faith lives kind of like the Apostle Paul says, not I, but Christ in me.
Pastor Eric.
Yeah, I think faith, the mere fact that the word faith is used suggests that there's a gap between what is and what could be or what we long for. And one of the phrases the Bible talks about faith, it's the substance of that which is hoped for. There's this longing. And I think hope is it's a key word this time of year. And so I think faith is what acknowledges that where I am today and where I desire to be, where the world is and where I desire it to be, there might be a gap there, but I'm trusting and having hope that that through Christ and maybe through the effort that I bring, that we can make progress there. So I think faith's what inspires us to make a difference.
And if I could jump on one more, faith to me is to trust there is no gap.
Great thought right there. Okay. Real quickly, Pastor Andy, First Presbyterian Church, what services will you be having?
Christmas Eve service we have on December 24th at 5:30. 5:30, and it's a traditional lessons and carol service and ends by holding candles and sharing the light.
Okay, thank you. Pastor Eric, Cedar Hills Church.
Yeah, we've got Christmas Eve gatherings as well on the 24th. We have in-person gatherings starting at 1. We have one at 1 o'clock, one at 2:30, one at 4 o'clock, and one at 5:30. So lots of options. And then we also have those gatherings happening online for those that would prefer to watch from the comfort of their home or some other location. And if you go to cedarhillschurch.com, more information about all of our gatherings is there, as well as a link to our online experiences.
Yeah, and I should mention, we also have the Facebook Live going during that service as well.
Okay, and you can connect up with both of your websites. It's fpcsandpoint.org for First Presbyterian and cedarhillschurch.com, I believe, for Cedar Hills. And with that, we're down to, Susie,
you have got a minute left. I just wanted to say thank you, you guys. It's a great way to get inspired and get Christmassy talking to you. So thanks for your inspiration.
Thank you for your invitation.
Yeah, honored to be a part of it. Thank you again.
Thank you all. Everybody have a very Merry Christmas.